Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Now, wait a minute, is that really true? I mean, we can ask for anything, and if we just believe, it'll happen? What does that really mean, and what's it mean to you? That's today. Stay with me.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry motivating Christians to live like Christians. And that idea Chip alluded to of ask and you will receive is one of the most confusing parts of communicating with God. Where is the line between approaching God with a sense of arrogance and presumption versus one driven by faith and humility? Well, today Chip will tackle this complicated subject as we begin winding down his series, The Power of Prayer. But before he gets going, let me encourage you to use our message notes while you listen. They'll help you get the absolute most out of Chip's teaching today. Download them under the Broadcasts tab at livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap Fill In Notes. Well, if you're ready, here's Chip with his talk, How to Pray with Absolute Confidence.
If you have your Bible with you, open to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 22 through 24. The context of this is pretty interesting. It's very near the end of Jesus' ministry, and he's going into the feast and the festivals, and as he goes in one morning, there's a fig tree that doesn't have any fruit on it. And so in the morning, Jesus curses this fig tree, and that afternoon they're coming back, and the roots are up out of the ground, and it's withered, I mean, just like that. And Peter basically says, "Hey, Lord, you know, not bad, huh? Pretty powerful when you speak, things happen." And in response to that with his disciples in this private encounter, Jesus said, as though they were surprised, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth." Basically, if you think that was something, "I tell you the truth, disciples, followers of mine, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." Pretty outrageous, isn't it? But now he pushes it to the next level because the word "therefore" he generalizes and begins to explain. This isn't just an instance, it's not just for you disciples, but notice the next line, "Therefore, I tell you," here's the principle, "whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it." Notice the result, "and it will be yours." Look at it again. Now, I mean, is this outrageous? Is this a great promise? Or, I mean, did Jesus maybe just go over the edge? You know, flu, virus, having a bad day, didn't really mean to say this. I mean, this is out. "I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it'll be yours." Is he really saying that if we can muster up inside, "I believe, I believe, I believe, give me a Mercedes. I believe, I believe, I believe, okay, a Cadillac." I mean, is that what this is all about? Somehow you can conjure up, and if you believe it and can think it, then it'll come true? I don't think so. I think it's one of the biggest and misunderstood promises in all of Scripture. I think he's saying something very important here, but often it's not what we think. In the early days of my Christian life, and I'd like to say not recently, but pretty recently, I think a lot of times when this passage would come up, I try and change just kind of change the topic. How do you explain this one? I remember having a good friend who, I was probably a couple years old in Christ, sophomore in college, and he was in an accident. He ended up paralyzed. We prayed and fasted as a young college group. God spared his life, and he was in one of these striker frames, you know, where they just sandwich you together with a spinal cord injury, and he was now a quadriplegic at the time. Didn't even know if he was going to use his arms. And I remember coming across this verse. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it'll be yours." And I didn't have much background, as I've shared with you. I'd never read the Bible much. But you know what? Whatever it meant to believe, I spent all day mustering up as much faith as I can get. You know, praying and reading and then reading and praying and trying to visualize God healing Frank and trying to believe God was big enough to do it and trying to somehow conjure up, I wonder what this kind of faith looked like. By 11:30 that night, I snuck in the hospital. You know, look this way, that way, the nurses aren't looking, get around one corner, here comes an orderly, face this way. You know, went up the back stairs. Finally, I get in his room, and he's in this bed. And I got down on my knees, and so I went up underneath and, hey, Frank, how you doing? He's awake. I said, Frank, I've been praying all day. And I came across this passage. I quoted it to him. We talked for a while, and I said, Frank, I want to pray for you. I want to believe, because it says that if I believe that I've received it, God's going to do it. And with all the zeal and sincerity I can muster, oh, God, heal Frank right now. And I prayed a lot of stuff. And I opened my eyes, hoping that he'd say, Chip, I felt something warm and powerful go all over my body, and get that nurse, let me out of here. It didn't happen. Well, maybe it'll happen tomorrow. It didn't happen. Maybe next week it didn't happen. Maybe next month it didn't happen. He's still in a wheelchair. So what's this mean? I mean, is this true or not true? Or did I so completely misunderstand what this is all about that I wasn't praying the way God wanted me to? Any of you have this? You ever prayed some of these prayers, you know, like, hey, God, it says in your word, and I've tried it, and, you know, this one doesn't work, for, at least for me. Well, I'd like to suggest that probably the problem is getting back to what's it mean? Because here's one obvious observation about this passage. Regardless of what it does mean, we can all agree. Look at verse 22. Have faith in God. Verse 23, if you do not doubt. Later in verse 23, but believes that you ask for in belief. There's one thing we can all agree on. Whatever Jesus is communicating, it has a lot to do with faith, right? It has something to do with believing, whatever that means. So let's go, before we even look at the main text, and find out what the scripture teaches faith is. What is it? And believe it or not, in Hebrews 11:1, I've put it in your notes, he gives a definition for faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is not subjective. Faith isn't conjuring something up. Notice what it says, the operative words, being sure and certain. Faith is having absolute confidence that something that hasn't happened yet will happen, and that something that you can't see will come to being. That's what faith is. See, for there to be biblical faith, you have to have a word from God. Faith boils down to God says this. Do you trust that what he said is true or not? If you don't have a word from God, you can't have biblical faith. I didn't have any word from God. I didn't have a promise from God that said he would heal my buddy. Sometimes God chooses to heal people. Sometimes he chooses not to. You can't put God in the box and tell him what to do. But anytime God gives us a promise, anytime we know what he says, if you'll act on that, that's biblical faith. In fact, look at verse 6 of Hebrews. The author goes on and develops not only the definition of faith, but how important it is. He says, without faith, without trusting in what God has said and acting on it, it's impossible to please God. He says you can go to church, you can pray, you can give the United Way, you can be morally pure, but if you don't believe God, you don't please him. What he wants from you and me more than anything else is faith. And then he gives the reason why. Because anyone who comes to God, if you want to have a relationship with God, you got to believe two things. You must believe that he exists. Know him for who he really is, but you also have to believe the second thing. Often we believe the first, but not the second. And that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly or diligently seek him. God is on the edge of his chair, if you will forgive the little picture, longing to bless you, longing to draw you close, longing to reveal himself, longing for you to take any kind of step in response to his word so that he can say, all right. Like a father watching a little baby or a toddler take a few little steps, God's arms are out. That's the kind of God he is. Faith is believing that he exists and that he's a rewarder. And so if you wanted to summarize it all, faith, therefore, is having absolute confidence that whatever God says, he will do. That's all faith is. You can feel close to God exercising faith. You can have flu and exercise faith. You can feel distant from God and exercise faith. But anytime you have absolute confidence that God said this and you believe it to the point of acting on it, that is what the Bible is talking about in terms of faith. Now, I want to ask you a question. It's a little personal. And the question I have when we get now back to praying is when you pray, when you close your eyes and you decide, I want to spend good time with the God of the universe, are you coming to God with absolute certainty and confidence that what you're asking for will be given?
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. We'll return you to today's message in just a second. But let me quickly ask you, do you often find it difficult to read and understand God's Word? If so, join us after today's message as Chip talks about our useful resource, Daily Discipleship with Chip. This tool has helped tens of thousands of people study the Bible and develop a deeper connection to God. Stick around to learn how to sign up. Well, with that, let's rejoin Chip for the remainder of his message.
Have you ever thought of praying that way? When you bow your head, are you certain that the things that you're going to ask for, God is going to answer, specifically what you're praying for? And some of you are looking at me like, I don't know if you can pray that way. Chip, where are you going with this one? Is this one of those trick questions? No, it's not a trick question. I'd like to suggest that God wants you, in the great majority of your prayer time, to have 100% absolute confidence before Him and pray specific things in such a way that you will know He will answer that specific thing. Where do I get that? Here's our text for the day. Follow along, if you will, as I read 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. He's writing to his children, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The context is, he said, whoever has the Son in verse 11 and 12 has life. Those who don't have the Son don't have life. So he's writing these things to assure them, all those people that are really in God's family. Now notice verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, and notice this phrase, according to his will, he hears us. Now let's stop and do a little analysis. This, he says, is the confidence. The word for confidence means boldness, assurance, openness, absolute certainty. When you come before the very throne of God, he says, this is the absolute confidence, the certainty that we possess before him. And what is that confidence? That if we ask anything and it lines up with his will, it's according to his will, he hears us. And that little word, he hears us, literally means his ears are open to us. Our request has gained audience before the King of the universe. Now, look at the next verse. It gets even more radical. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have or possess what we've asked for. Have you had times like that in prayer? Have you had times when you have prayed and you know, since you're praying according to God's will, that the very thing you're asking for, God guarantees he's going to answer for you? And by the word, notice the word know is repeated twice. There's two words in the Greek New Testament for know. One is a knowledge that comes by way of experience. There's another word that means know. It's a historical or a verifiable objective fact, like I know that gravity exists. If I can believe in gravity, fine. If I don't believe in gravity, fine. Jump off a 3-4-story building. Whether you believe it or not, you have basically the same result. That's this word. It's absolute certainty, historical fact. We know that God hears us. And if you pray according to his will and he hears us, then you know that you're going to get whatever you ask. Is that a radical thought for some of you this morning? You're looking at me like, ooh, boy, I've never heard this before. Did you know this passage was in the Bible? Well, let's talk about how it works. How can you pray with confidence and certainty? Well, the first question we need to ask is, to whom is this promise made? It's a radical promise, but it's not for everybody. Notice in verse 13, These things are written to those who believe in the name of the Son of God. This is reserved for people who are God's children. A lot of people can pray and God does different things, but this promise is reserved for people that have personally asked Christ to come into their life, their sins have been forgiven, the Holy Spirit has come and taken dwelling inside of them, and it bears witness with their spirit that they're the child of God. This promise is for anyone that's in God's family this way. Now, the second question we might want to ask is, well, then how must we pray to know that God hears our prayers? That's in verse 14. You know, Chip, you're telling me that this passage guarantees that God's going to hear my prayer, but how do I know that for certain? Look at the little phrase, if we pray how? You look. What's it say? According to the will of God. If you or I pray anything according to his will, and that phrase means that it's God's intention, it's his highest desire, it's his authorized plan to be fulfilled. The next question that, as this passage opens up, is not only how to pray according to God's will, but how do you know God's will? See, at this point, I hope your mind is saying, and let me just have a quick aside. I hope your mind is saying in your heart of hearts, I pray a lot of vague prayers. I'm not sure I pray real specifically. I think instead of having faith, you know what I find in my life and probably with many of you? I find instead of praying in faith, I'm usually praying in hope. Oh God, I hope this happens. Oh God, this is a good desire. Oh God, this would be nice if you did it. That's not what Jesus said. When you come asking in faith, believe that you've received it and it'll be given to you. I don't think he's joking, people. I don't think he just threw that one out to impress Peter and the boys. I think he was saying, if you can know what the will of God is, once you understand my will, then you can ask for it and I will deliver and you can take it to the bank. I want you to pray specifically and with certainty and with confidence, and I will answer.
This is Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and you've been listening to part one of Chip's message, How to Pray with Absolute Confidence, from our series, The Power of Prayer. Chip will be back shortly to share some helpful application for us to think about. Prayer is an absolutely essential part of our relationship with God. It's how we talk with him. And as his children, we have free access to him, anytime, anywhere. But how does it actually work? What do we say? Well, in this series, we'll learn what a dynamic, consistent prayer life looks like. Chip also explains how to remove the barriers that hinder our prayers and why we can approach our Heavenly Father with confidence that he'll hear us and act. So whether you are a new Christian or a seasoned follower of Jesus, you don't want to miss a single program. Well, I'm joined in studio now by Chip. And Chip, you had something really timely and pressing that you wanted to share with our listeners.
Thanks, Dave. Before I come back with some application about today's message, I want to pause and remind you that we've seen some great leaders fall morally in recent days. In fact, it seems like it just keeps happening. And I want to remind you that we have an enemy. And it's easy to point the finger at people that have struggled or have messed up, and especially those that we look up to. But the fact of the matter is we're in a battle. We're in an invisible war. There's an enemy that's seeking to literally kill, steal, and ruin your life. But God has provided a resource. Ephesians 6 reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil. And here's the deal. I want to help you. We've developed a daily discipleship series called The Invisible War from Ephesians 6. We'll spend 12 days together studying that passage. I will meet with you one-on-one for about 20 minutes each day. I'll speak for no more than 10 minutes and ask you to take 10 minutes to study on your own. You'll learn what spiritual battle is. You'll learn how to put on the armor of God, and you'll learn how to have victory over Satan. This is one of the most important studies I've ever done because we're in a battle, but we've already won. But you need to know how. I hope you join me.
Great word, Chip. To learn more about our Daily Discipleship with Chip series, The Invisible War, go to livingontheedge.org. This free video tool will help you be aware and prepared for the spiritual battle happening all around us. Again, to sign up for this or any of our Daily Discipleship series, go to livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap Discipleship.
Well, with that, here again is Chip.
As we close today's program, we addressed a passage, as I said earlier in the teaching, that is probably one of the misused and probably one of the most misinterpreted of all in the New Testament. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours." And like you, I've heard people say, basically, if you can muster up some level of emotion and tell yourself, "I really believe this," somehow you can speak it into existence. And the whole issue is about how hard or how much you believe, and God will do anything, and He's kind of at your beck and calling. And in the teaching, what we did is we clarified, okay, who is that written to? What's the context of that? Are you praying according to God's will? Is your desire in the context, do you really want what God wants, or is this for selfish gains? In fact, this is one of those passages where you might really want to listen to the last couple broadcasts where we talk about the roadblocks, because there's 5 or 6 very clear roadblocks that just us believing intellectually or having a lot of emotion will keep prayers from being answered. But what I do know is that there's the flip side of this. And we can be critical of people who say, "Just believe this." But there's a level of expectation. There's a sense in which when we come to God, He wants us to come not like hoping, not wishing. I think a lot of us pray with a sense of just wishing. I don't really believe it's going to happen, but I hope it happens. I wish for this, and God up there somewhere, somehow, would you please kind of maybe sort of do this? And that's not the prayer of the New Testament. The prayer of the New Testament is coming before a God who you know, who loves you, and that you can know His will because He's made it very clear in His Word. So when you're thinking about work and you're thinking, should I take this job or another job, and you don't know what to do, God has given you a promise that He'll give you wisdom. But the condition is you'll do whatever He says. So you sign up for, "I will do whatever you say, God, just show me." And here's His promise. He'll let you know this job or another job. And the same is true of, should your kids go to, you know, X school or Y school? Is this the right relationship? Is this a person you need to marry, or a relationship that, no, you need to break up? All those kind of things, you can come with full confidence because God has given you very specific promises. And when you're praying according to the will of God, when you're praying to bring Him glory, and when you're praying according to a very clear promise from God, here's what I want you to get. You can expect that He will answer, and you can claim that promise. And when Jesus says, when you believe that you've received it, there are times where God will whisper in your heart, "You don't need to pray about that anymore. It's going to be done." And it's not because you're wonderful. It's because God answers prayer in response to the prayer of faith that are rooted in the alignment with His will, the motive for His glory, and rooted in the very promises of God. He wants you to pray with authority. Let me encourage you, if you've never picked up a little devotional called Magnificent Prayer by Nick Harrison, he gives a little section every single day that has inspired me to pray boldly like no other resource I've ever read.
Good resource for us to pick up, Chip. Thanks. As we wrap up this program, Living on the Edge depends on listeners like you to help us continue encouraging Christians to live like Christians. So would you consider becoming a monthly partner to help others benefit from this ministry? You can set up a recurring donation at livingontheedge.org or by calling 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003 or visit livingontheedge.org. Have listeners tap donate. And thanks for doing whatever the Lord leads you to do. We'll listen to next time as Chip wraps up his series, The Power of Prayer. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.